Today on Mortal Life, peace be with you. Do you feel like someone or something is robbing you of your peace? We're going to help you find a break. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
Mortal Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to marry.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about peace.
Would you like a little?
In a time where there's not a lot going around.
A lot of peace going around. There's a lot of other stuff going around.
Exactly. We'd like to help you find your peace in the middle of all the crazy and chaos. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us what people or situations are stealing your peace. You know, are you feeling a little stuck in stress, worry, frustration, anxiety? If not, then tell us your secret, because a lot of people are. In fact, I think that these days more than ever, people are stuck in those feelings of stress and worry and frustration and anxiety. But the good news is, you don't have to wait for all the problems to go away before you can find peace. It is possible to find peace even in the middle of it all. We're going to reveal the secret and help you claim it today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Tell us, what are those situations in your life or relationships that are threatening to steal your peace? Let us help you get to a more peaceful space and find the solutions that will give you a break in the stress. 877-573-7825.
First of all, desiring peace is what you are made for. Right? We were made for perfect unity with God. We were made to know His peace deep within us. Jesus constantly would come into a situation and immediately say, "Peace be with you," to His disciples, to the people there. He wants us to have the peace of the Holy Spirit with us all the time. But we also live in this fallen world right now, and that is what makes it challenging. But it's not wrong to want it at all.
Because we
have a tendency, I think, when we look at the need for peace, to think of one or two things. Either one, we can never leave the Blessed Sacrament. We have to say, I know I've done this. I want to kneel before the Blessed Sacrament and never, ever, ever leave. Because I know the minute I get up, go out into the parking lot, deal with life again, it's going to be harder to hold on to the peace that the real presence gives me. So then, what do we do in the meantime when we're not there? Well, most of us tend to naturally think that the best way to pursue peace is to get away from it all, whether to church or on vacation, me time, whatever that is. And while it's true that taking breaks and getting time for reflection is important, the fact is that these times always have to end in some way, and we have to jump back into all those things that tend to rob our peace. In addition to getting breaks, we need a way to hold on to peace even in the middle of the storms. And the theology of the body reminds us that true peace does not come from getting away, but rather from being intentional about maintaining those close connections to God and the people that He places in our lives, even when we're busy and life is crazy.
Yeah, no question. You know, the fact is, maintaining and protecting those connections you were just talking about to God and the people who love us is really what spells the difference between just reacting to our stressors versus staying receptive to God's grace in the moment. You know, it's important for us to learn, and it really does require some learning and new ways of thinking. It's important that we learn to stop saying, oh, I'll check in with God and the people around me when I'm done handling all the stress.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
And instead say, how can I bring God and the people who love me with me while I go through the stress? And the more we're able to maintain those connections with God and others, the more we're able to hold on to our peace. That's a very big mind shift. And I want to go back to what you were saying about Jesus a few minutes ago, when that Jesus was constantly saying, peace be with you, be my peace I leave with you, be not afraid, do not be anxious. And when we hear those things, because we have a tendency to think that the only way we get peace is to get away, we get frustrated because, you know, we try to do what God has asked us to do, but we don't have enough time to just be away from all the stress all the time. So we get upset because, I'm supposed to be peaceful, but how am I supposed to be peaceful? Because I don't have time to just sit, and pray all the time. I don't have time to just sit. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's asking us to bring him with us and bring the people he's placed in our lives to support us while we go through all of this, so that we can feel that connection and know that love and experience that grace even in the moment. And that's what allows us to feel peaceful even when everything around us isn't.
Well, and I think that anyone listening today sort of intuits that naturally, right? You're listening to Catholic Radio because there is part of you that knows you need that constant connection with God and that it will bring you the peace that you need. It's probably why you tune in today or any day, because we do need God. You know, Greg, you're talking about these times where Jesus came in and said, peace be with you. One of the ones that is most profound, I think, is when he appeared risen in the upper room. And here were his disciples and his mother. They got away, right? They got away from the tumult that was going on around the crucifixion of Christ and went to grieve and hide out from the law in that upper room. But getting away wasn't enough. When Jesus appeared to them in their grief, in their distress, in their getting away, the first thing he said to them is, peace be with you. Because he knew only he could really, really grant that peace and that grace. And so we need to know that. We need to hang on to him first and foremost. And even if we're losing our minds, scream out to him and say, Lord, I need you. I really need you. But there are so many things that we can do and have to do to cooperate with that grace and peace he's trying to give us.
You know, something just occurred to me as I was listening to you, and I've never thought of this before. But it's a small thing, but I don't know, it's resonating for me, so I'm just going to share it. It's, Jesus did not say over and over again, go and find your peace.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
He said, peace be with you. And the reason I'm saying that's significant is because he's not telling us to leave life and go find peace. He's saying, bring peace itself with you wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very different perspective. But I think that's, it's a really important insight, and I want to spend this hour helping people bring their peace with them wherever they go, instead of feeling like they have to run away from the people and the problems to find peace.
Right, or to have your peace in the midst of whatever you're going through if you don't get to go many places anymore. And I think one of the things that is probably sending up a lot of question marks or a lot of exclamation points for our listeners as we talk right now, we're talking about keeping connection to God and others. And in many, many, many places and in many circumstances, a lot of people right now are feeling like that's the part that they're having difficulty with. As we move through Advent toward Christmas, toward New Year's, there are a lot of people who don't feel comfortable or are not allowed because of restrictions in places to see loved ones this holiday season, to keep those connections the way they want to or the way they're used to, and they don't know how to keep that up. And that is robbing the peace of a lot of people today. So if it's that or anything else that's causing you to feel stressed out, anxiety-ridden, like you can't really stay with your peace, and you're frustrated and worried, we're here to help you find new solutions today and to give you some prayer support as well. 877-573-7825 is the number. That's 877-573-7825. 7825.
With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for being the source of the peace that this world cannot give. And we bring to you all those people and situations that threaten our peace and try to rob us of our peace. Lord, we ask that we would not just find peace when we run away from those people and problems, but that you would teach us to bring peace with us wherever we go, by holding on to our connection with you and the people that you've placed in our lives as we go about handling all the challenges that our day is filled with. Give us the grace that we need to remember to bring you with us and to do all things in ways that lead us into deeper communion with the people around us. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary,
and
in
the
name
of
the
Father,
and the Son,
and
the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're talking about peace. How do you find it? How do you hold on to it? How do you maintain that sense of peace, not just when you run away from the people and problems that are driving you crazy, but even while you deal with those people and problems? That's the job, okay? That's what we're charged with. That's what God wants us to do. How do we pull it off? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with, I believe it's Raquel, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Minnesota on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Raquel. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to be brief. So I was saying that, you know, I'm struggling with my 9-year-old son. I'm a widow. I lost my husband 3 years ago. And I'm running a business, which is not my area. And so every morning I get up really early, start my prayer time, getting ready, you know, cooking breakfast, lunch, getting ready, everything ready. And before getting, you know, waking up my son, then I wake him up, try different times, different ways, nicely and kindly, nothing happens. Finally, when, you know, I have to raise my voice to get him out of bed, because it's hard for him to get out of bed. He's always complaining that he's tired, but mm-hmm. he also complains about going to bed on time. So it's very difficult to get him start the day on time. And on time is the key word for me, because, you know,
sure.
from 7:15 to 7:25 is the time that I have to drop him off at school, and then 7:30 to be at church to go to mass myself. So be on time, and he doesn't want to cooperate, to get out of bed, to get ready,
right.
to, you know, to get ready for school.
So let me ask you a question.
Get out of the door.
So in the morning, how much time do you feel like you invest in trying to get out of bed altogether? Would you say at least 10 minutes, 15 minutes maybe?
For him, yes, about 10 to...
Like the number of times you have to... If you add up all the time you have to keep going back to him and yelling at him, get out of bed, get out of bed, get out of bed, it probably adds up to at least 10 or 15 minutes every morning, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I want you to do a different thing with that 10 or 15 minutes, okay? So here's the thing. You know, in general, any time we want to ask a kid to do something, you want to collect the kid before you redirect the kid, okay? What that means is that in order for our children to effectively, and this is true for adults too, right? Okay, let's just imagine. You know, if I walk up to you and say, hey, Raquel, do this, and then I walk out of the room, you're going, what the heck was that? Right? Okay? You're going to be put out. But you'd recover because you're an adult, you know, and you could talk yourself through the fact, well, that, you know, he was kind of a jerk about it, but it's important for me to do this, and so I guess I will, you know. Kids can't do that. And so it's really important for us to collect the child before we move them onto something, especially if they experience it as somewhat stressful. And, you know, getting ready for school in general is stressful, and these days even more so.
And I'm going to put it right out there. Your kid's still grieving, too. So when, you know, you lost your husband 3 years ago, and my goodness, you are doing a fantastic job putting all the pieces in place and trying to make life work for the two of you. But he is still dealing with the loss. And when you lose one parent and the other parent has to work that hard, you've lost two. And so he's still dealing with that and probably really is not wanting to take on more every single day. So you having time to recollect him and spend time with him won't just get him to move on time, it'll also be very healing for him.
So let's talk about what that collecting time actually looks like. Right? And that's why I asked you how much time you spend correcting him in the morning, because initially whenever I suggest this, people go like, well, that's an awful lot of time. But you know what? You're spending that time already. Let's just do it in a way that works. So what I want you to do when you wake him up the first time, I want you to sit on the bed and just kind of put your arm on his shoulder, you know, just kind of cuddle with him a little bit, tell him I love you, you know, say, and then, you know, let him sit up and then pray together. Just bring the day to God. So what do you got going on today? You know, in school, what you know, and just talk a little bit, and then bring it to God. Okay, Lord, please bless my son and let him know how much you love him. Let him know how much I love him. Please be with him whenever he's dealing with this test or this whatever thing or whatever. Thank you, Lord, for these blessings of the day. It's like a 3-second prayer, you know, 3 minutes maybe, on the long side. But the point is, you're connecting him to you. You're collecting his heart. And then you're kind of walking through, okay, so we've got to get you to the bus by, you know, 7:15, so I need you...
Or in the car, whatever.
You know, whatever it is. You know, walk me through what you're going to do here. You know, well, what do you need to do next? Okay, well, I need to get, you know, I need to brush my teeth. I need to, you know, get my clothes out. You know, walk him, actually have him talk you through his morning routine so that he's online. His brain is online and he knows what he needs to do. Okay? And then you give him a kiss, and you don't leave the room until you see him get up and start to do it. Because if you don't see him start to do it, he ain't doing it. Okay? So if you invest that 10 minutes, that 15 minutes you're already spending yelling at him, and put it at the front of the process where you actually collect him, pray with him, briefly have him, don't tell him what to do, ask him what he needs to do next, and we'll have him walk you through his morning routine. Now he's online. You give him a kiss and a hug and tell him, I'm so proud of you for being able to be so responsible and know all that stuff that you got to do. Let's go do it. And you both get up together and get on with your day. I promise you it's going to go 1,000% better than what's happening right now. Because, you know, all the, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to do anything. That's all coming from an emotional place where he feels like he doesn't have the bandwidth to handle all the stuff.
Yeah, he's flooded. He's completely flooded first thing in the morning. Most of us, as Greg said, are every morning. It's like everything just comes at you once you start to regain consciousness. But as adults, we usually have skills that we can at least tap into to make that transition happen. As a grieving 9-year-old kid whose dad passed when he was 6, he doesn't have that yet. Most 9-year-olds don't anyway, but he's really still very much in the grieving and stressed out process here. It's 3 years is a tiny amount of time for him, and so he needs his mom to really be there to regather him and to let him feel secure and taken care of in those first few minutes of the day.
And again, I know that 10 minutes I'm talking about, that what I'm describing sounds like a lot of time, but you are already spending it yelling at him. Be intentional about giving him that time at the beginning, and I promise you the rest of the day is going to go so much better. We do offer additional suggestions along these lines in our book, Parenting with Grace, the Catholic Parent Guide to Raising Almost Perfect Kids. You can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com if you're interested in learning more, but I know that these suggestions will get you where you need to go. Again, the address, CatholicCounselors.com. All right, we've got to go to break, but when we come back, we are continuing to take your calls about those people and situations that are robbing your peace. How do you bring your peace with you when you leave your prayer time, when you leave that break, when you leave that weekend away or that time that you've taken for yourself? How do you bring your peace with you in the face of all the problems and people that drive you crazy? 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Popchak, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in performance and success psychology. She's going to be talking about little steps toward peace every day. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Myler & Zipka Certified Public Accountants is proud to support Ave Maria Radio Programming. Myler & Zipka offer great services to WDEO listeners in Metro Detroit for all of your accounting and tax needs. Call Ken Zipka and let him know you appreciate him helping to keep Catholic Radio alive in this area. Ken can be reached at 734-930-5500. That's 734-930-5500. Or on the web at mspccpa.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Catholic Charities enabled 500,000 people last year to reach financial self-sufficiency. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Streamline your charitable giving while supporting the causes you care about. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Learn more about how you can maximize your charitable donations with a simple, flexible, and efficient giving tool. Visit ccusa.gives. That's ccusa.gives.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Peace Be With You. We're talking about how you carry your peace with you once you've left your prayer time, once you've left that time away. How do you keep the blessings of that break as you deal with the people and problems that stress you out? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Popchak. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in performance and success psychology, and she's here to offer some tips for claiming peace in the moment. Rachel Popchak, welcome to More to Life. Sorry. I'll get it straight.
Good to have you with us. Now, Rachel, we've been talking during this time from the beginning of the show about how getting away and trying to find your peace that way is so fleeting. So what should we do when we have to try to regain our peace in the midst of having to live a normal everyday life, or in this particular year, a not-so-normal everyday life?
You're so right. I mean, when we're feeling a lack of peace, just that natural response really is to feel like we need to escape and to get away and to kind of get a break and to try to find our peace. But really when we run away or kind of go outside of our lives to try to find that break, we essentially just kind of put a pause on our life, put a pause on stress. But when we come back from our break, we end up just coming back to the stress and kind of picking up where we left off.
Oh, that's why we see so many people crying on airplanes on the way back from a vacation, because they have to unpause the stress button. So what do we do?
Real peace really comes from kind of finding it in the moment, right, throughout our day-to-day. So I kind of like to call it, you know, finding God in the parking space, right? So, you know, when you're kind of driving to work or the store, maybe it's raining outside and the parking lot is crowded, and then, oh, look, you find a spot close to the front door. Right, and there's little moments just kind of acknowledging, oh, thank you, God, for getting me a parking spot, right? We're cultivating this sort of mental and kind of emotional deep breath and really reminding ourselves that we aren't alone, that we don't have to handle everything alone, that God is really looking out for us.
I love finding
those little moments of, you know, a surprise hug from our kids or a smile from a stranger or a parking space, you know, those are the moments so we can, you know, find that presence of God and find rest and peace.
Well, and you know what? You're talking about, I guess there's sort of two sides to this, and as far as I'm thinking, you know, the first is recognizing those little graceful moments and acknowledging them consciously. But I think the other part is creating them. Like you mentioned, that little surprise hug from the kids. You know, it's important to go and give that hug to the kids, or go and, you know, tell your spouse that you love them, even when you're feeling stressed out, or, you know, go, you know,
text,
praise God.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing, I, you know, I'll share one thing that I've done this week, you know, that's been really a blessing to me, is that whenever I would finish finish a task, you know, whether I was happy about finishing the task or not, or whether I liked the task or not, I would take just a second to thank God for giving me either the gifts to do that task, or the stamina or the perseverance to get through that task, and I would just, you know, thank Him for that opportunity to do that thing and get it done. And it's really it helped me increase my peace in a stressful week.
That's so wonderful. Yeah, it's so true, too, that, you know, we have to kind of create those moments, and just in the same way that we kind of have to look for those blessings in the way that God's giving us those little gifts, you know, directly or kind of through other people, really just asking ourselves, how can I be that gift to others as well? How can I offer that same peace that I'm looking for in my life? How can I offer that to somebody else, too?
Well, what I also love about this is that so many of us only take time to recognize God in the giant miracles, you know, and mm-hmm. I found that perfect person, I got that promotion at work, this miracle happened that I've been praying for. But as you mentioned earlier, He's reaching out to show us His presence and His love in little ways all day long. And so many of us are even afraid to acknowledge that, because if we acknowledge the presence of God, somehow it shakes us a little bit or steals a little bit of our stress. And Satan doesn't want us to give up a little bit of our stress. He likes us being completely stressed out. So taking those times to really acknowledge, wait a minute, I'm seeing glimpses of God in all of these little things, can really make that raging noise of stress lessen in our and the ears of our soul.
Rachel, thank you so much for being with us. It's a pleasure talking with you. And of course, if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they can check out what you do at CatholicCounselors.com. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys. Thanks.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 about keeping your peace, even in the face of the people and problems that threaten to take it away. If you are dealing with stress, worry, frustration, anxiety, or other people that are stealing your peace, let's find some solutions. Help you keep your peace through those challenges all the way to the solutions you're looking for. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
Do you remember writing your Christmas wish list as a child and wondering what Santa would bring? Well, in many developing countries like Haiti, most children don't make Christmas lists and they don't expect Christmas gifts. Often every penny their parents earn must go to basic needs like food, shelter, and water. Now picture the joy of surprising a child with their first Christmas gift. You can spark that magical moment by sending them a box of joy at boxofjoy.org. A rosary and the story of Jesus is included in every box of joy. Give today at boxofjoy.org.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
You don't let an oil company decide which car you drive, and you don't let an airline decide your destination. So why let insurance limit your health care options? We believe there's a better way of doing health care. CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that gives you control over your health care decisions by partnering with one of the nation's most trusted health sharing organizations. Now is the time to experience affordable, pro-life health care. Find out more at MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta, and I wanted to take a moment and thank the hundreds of you who made our winter membership drive so successful. We met our goal of $125,000 and recouped what COVID-19 had stolen by forcing the cancellation of our spring drive. So have a rich Advent, watching, waiting, working, and worshiping until He returns.
'Cause I am so glad you came.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. You may have heard the phrase, the family who prays together stays together. But you may not know that this is backed up by significant research. Based on hundreds of studies, couples who pray together tend to be 15 to 20% happier than couples who don't. In fact, the more often you pray together, the happier you'll be. In one study, couples who said they pray together a lot were 30% more likely to endorse a positive statement about their spouse. Making God a regular, important part of your marriage relationship will help you have a more intimate, healthy, faithful marriage. And committing to prayer as a couple will enable you to show the world that the love that God shows you is possible. So today, ask your spouse to pray with you. And remember, God wants to change the world through your marriage. For more tips on how to have a God-centered marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, our show is titled Peace Be With You. How do you carry God's peace with you as you go about your day and deal with those crazy people and irritating problems? You know, it's one thing to find peace when we run away from those things. You know, it's fine to find peace in our prayer time. It's fine to find peace when we take a break or go away for the weekend or get some me time. And that's nothing wrong with any of that. But as Rachel Popchak was pointing out in her segment, you know, when you get back to it, a lot of times that peace that we got when we left comes, it just goes away, right? How do we carry the peace with us and fulfill that command that Jesus gave us for peace to be with us wherever we go? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Andy, who's listening in Indianapolis.
Hi, Andy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, hello. Well, in regards to peace, you know, I've got a son. He's 4 years old. And, you know, we've been spending a lot of time with each other. And, you know, I would devote tons of time, you know, playing with him and, you know, interacting with him. Well, now, in September, we had a baby girl. She's 3 months. She'll be 3 months and the 22nd. And I'm spending a lot of time with her, especially carrying her and, you know, feeding her and stuff like that. But, you know, he's kind of, you know, he wants me to still spend as much time as with him as I did before. And he realizes mm-hmm. that it's not 100% possible. But, like, when he's like, you know, please, please, my turn, and then I go put the baby down in the bed, and she starts crying. I have to pick her back up again.
And your four-year-old is a boy or a girl?
She's a boy, yeah.
Your four-year-old? Okay. So, you know, you're experiencing a pretty common problem.
Very,
obviously.
Very common. So the good news is there, you're not weird and you're not
alone.
You're not alone and you're not also doing something that hasn't been faced a million times. You know, it's not a fault of yours in some way.
Or your kids aren't broken or anything
yeah.
like that. You know, but that doesn't change the fact that it's hard to negotiate.
It's right? very stressful.
So we actually talk about this in Parenting with Grace in our sibling revelry chapter instead of sibling rivalry. And there are a couple of things that we can suggest on the call that I think will be helpful. The first thing that's really good to do is because that we want to help the four-year-old transition into that perception of himself as not the baby, but as still important and what his help him find what his role is. Because up till now, his role has been to be the baby. Right, and he's feeling like he's being displaced because now there's a baby. So what is his role? Okay, so you want to kind of help him be the big brother, right, and come alongside of you in helping you take care of the baby, even if that's just him being with you while you change the diaper or while you're inviting him to be part of that process and say, okay, can you help me with this or help me grab that? Now, he might say, oh, you know what, Mommy, I want to go do this. Well, that's okay, you know, and that's perfectly fine. But the point is, you know, he's taking that independence as opposed to feeling like you're pushing him away. But you're bringing him with you when you're doing those things so that you're still getting that time with him, but you're helping him see his new role as a big brother and as a helper instead of just as the baby.
And I think it's also very important to realize that he's still a baby. He's 4 years old. And that's perfectly fine. I think a lot of us push, especially male children, further away by the age of four because we expect them to, you know, be stronger and more independent. And what he's saying is, I still need time with dad and mom to be able to feel close and to feel connected and to feel safe and to know who I am, and that's okay. Here's a tip. You don't have to put the baby down to be able to spend time with your four-year-old. You don't. You can hold that baby in one arm while you cuddle your son in the other arm and read him a book. You can hold that baby in a sling on your chest while you're on the floor building Duplos with your four-year-old. There are ways to still have that connection. And baby slings and baby carriers are very helpful in transitioning in sibling relationships when there's a newborn around. The newborn is safe and near you. You know the child is well cared for. Much less likely to wake up, fuss, and cry. And you can still stir up a bowl of chocolate chip cookies with that four-year-old, and they're getting your eye contact and your attention and that rub on the back. Don't think that everything has to be settled with the newborn in order to be able to have that connection.
Yeah, because one of the transitions when you have that second child or subsequent children is to stop thinking of parenting as, you know, something I do with one child at a time.
Right.
But rather, I need to start figuring out how to teach the children to relate to each other while I attend to them. And so,
learn from me personally, yeah, as a parent. How do I relate to both of these children at the same time? And it really is possible, especially with things like baby slings and baby carriers. Look for one that's adjustable, easy, and comfortable for you so that the littlest one is as close as possible most of the time. But you've got your arms free to do fun things with your four-year-old.
But again, I don't want you to feel like it's all up to you to make this happen. That's why I wanted to start this by saying, help him understand, you know, his role as a big brother and be complimenting him on the help that he's giving you while you bring him along to help take care of the baby. And then that helps him identify, you know, that, well, and honestly, you know, an important part of parenting is teaching our kids to give back to us and the family and be as generous using what God's given them as we have been to them up to this point. So, you know, you're still giving him all that affection and all that attention and all that, but you're also asking him to take on this new role of helper, and you're complimenting him on the efforts that he's making and really helping him get that sense of, oh, I can give back. I can be a big helper to mommy in all this. And so that's really the kind of the key to this. We talk about this more in Parenting with Grace in the Sibling Revelry chapter. Check it out. I think it'll be an additional help to you, but you can run with the stuff that we've been shared with you in the call. Thanks so much for giving us a holler here on More to Life, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out again. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about those people and problems that are robbing your peace. How do you deal gracefully with those situations and bring your peace with you so that you can respond rather than react? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Ron, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois on Covenant Radio.
Hey, Ron. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. My parents, in this whole COVID thing, have isolated themselves, which, you know, they're in their middle 70s, and I don't live in the same town. My siblings don't live in the same town with them. And they have, not so much my father, but my mother, really isolated themselves. And I guess yesterday, one of their friends, the first person that they knew, died. Somebody that my mother was in their wedding. And when I talk to them, you know, especially my mother, it's this person has COVID, this person has COVID. And you can feel the level of anxiety going up every time I talk to them. And, you know, the last thing she said in her email about her friend who died was, I'm mad at COVID and I'm mad at everybody not wearing masks. And, I mean, I'm not worried about my worry. My worry is about what my parents are, what I would call cultural Catholics, not, and mm-hmm. So my answer would be, please try to go to Mass, but I know that's not going to dig them out of the hole because they need to be able to walk out the door and get to church and things like
You're
that.
Right.
But I guess I'm wondering, how do I present this to them? Or what
yeah.
would
well,
you
Well, I mean, I guess a couple of suggestions here. First of all, anytime you're trying to support somebody else, we have a tendency to want to go to the fix-it mode, right, where I'm going to offer ideas for you to fix your problem, or we try to cheerlead and say, oh, you know, it's not so bad. I'm not saying you're doing that, but I'm just in general, those are our responses to the things. And there are two things that are more important to do, and sometimes they're the only two things that we need to do. And they work much better than either cheerleading or offering to fix. And that's empathize and pray. So empathizing, you can feel a little silly even doing this because it feels like it's so little. But it means so much to another person to just hear that what they're going through is valid and their feelings are valid. You might feel like, well, I don't want to reward this anxiety. But saying to your mom, you know, I'm so sorry that you guys are going through this. I love you guys so much, and I can hear how stressed you are. That must be really difficult for you. And you're going to hear the stress go out when, yeah, it really is hard. I know, Mom, and I'm really so sorry that you guys are struggling. That must be terribly difficult for you. Yeah, it kind of is. And but the point is you're creating connection, a heart-to-heart connection that helps to bring the peace. The whole theme of this show, right, has been how do we bring peace with us? It's we maintain connection with God and each other. And so if you're able to avoid that temptation to either be the fixer or be the cheerleader and instead be an accompanier, if you will, and make that heart-to-heart connection, that's going to help bring more peace in. Now, I know you said that they're more cultural Catholic, but the second part, pray, is something you can do on your own with her. With your dad, too. You know, you could just say, you know what, I wish I knew what to do for you guys. I'm so far away, and I wish I could be there for you. I wish I could offer suggestions that would help, but I can't think of any concrete things to do. But you know what, let's take a second to pray together. Don't even ask permission. Just launch into it. Lord, please bless my parents. Help them to know how much I love them. Help them to know how much you love them. Help them to remember all the ways you've been there for them in the past and how that you're here with them right now. Give them the grace and support they need to really find their peace and joy even in the middle of all of this. Amen. Now that, I was looking at the clock, that was a 25-second prayer. She's not going to know what hit her, because you didn't even ask to do it. You just jumped into it, you brought God into the conversation, and you said amen, and then you moved on. But the point is that by empathizing and by praying, you're creating that heart-to-heart connection with her that's diffusing the tension. You're bringing God and grace into the situation to diffuse that tension and help remind them of who they are and where they can begin to find that peace. And who knows, maybe that leaves the door open for the possibility that if they can't get to Mass, then maybe at least they'd be willing to watch it, You could even, at that point, kind of share a little bit about, the Mass that that's being streamed and why don't we watch it together? That's down the road, though. The main thing I want you to focus on,
because you can watch it together, yeah, even on the phone or over your devices. We've done a lot of this with our in-laws, where we are, even playing a game and we're on our phones, but then we're watching the game on our internet TVs. Like, there's ways to do this where, even though, because you said you don't live anywhere near them, that you can say, let's watch this together, and you both have the same thing on, but you're on the phone together, and you get to talk about what the readings were or the homily was, even if you call right afterwards, so that they have a sense of being walked with through the spiritual experience of this, and that they know that you love them enough to spend that hour and a half, if you're talking to them afterwards, really helping them process this and talk about their relationship with God and invest in that relationship with you so that they feel less alone. They feel heard.
All right, Ron, thank you so much for the call. And it's a good reminder for all of us, though. If we're helping somebody else try to find their peace, generally speaking, you're not going to get there by trying to fix what they're going through or trying to preach or trying to cheer. If you do the last two things, preaching and cheering, they're just going to think, they don't get it. And if you try to offer solutions too soon, they won't do it anyway. By empathizing and praying, you are taking down the tension enough for them to engage their own natural resources for solution, for problem solving, and they make them more receptive to your own ideas later on too. Thanks so much for the call, Ron. We're going to add your family to our More to Life prayer list. We've got a lot of folks whose parents are on that list, and we'll lift yours up as well. These are challenging times for all of us, and we could use all the grace we can get, and we're happy to add your folks and you to our More to Life prayer list as well. 877-573-7825. We're talking about how to carry God's peace with us as we go about our day and deal with the people and problems that threaten to steal that peace. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. As we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3.
You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's truth. It's absolutely truth. God will keep us in perfect peace when we stay with him and trust him. But we know it's a struggle. So, A, let's remember that God is there and will show up when we try to bring him as close to him and for us to be as close to him as we can be. But know that we're here to help you figure that out today as well.
And the thing I want, again, and this really keeps with the theme of our show today, it's finding peace is not about running away from the stuff in our life to go find God and find peace someplace else. It's about bringing God with us and inviting him into the stressful situation. So when Isaiah says, you know, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you, that doesn't mean that we're running off to go find God. It means that we're inviting God into this stressful moment right now. So like when we were talking with Ron, you know, he's feeling stressed because his parents are worried and anxious, especially during the pandemic, and he's not sure how to help. So he brings God into it. You know, Lord, I don't know what to do for my mom and dad, you know, but I know that you know how to be there for them, and please let them know your love. Please, you know, so he's, you know, in the conversation, he's bringing God into that. Whatever we're going through, we need to bring God into it, not run away from it to go find God, because God is right here, right now, with you. 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back with more of your calls about holding on to peace, even in the middle of all the crazy. Stick around.
The Bench Pub in Livonia is a new supporter of Ave Maria Radio during this COVID-19 crisis. During this difficult time, they're offering carryout and delivery service with special deals for vital service personnel. In addition to their famous burgers, the Bench Pub features award-winning homemade chili and fish and chips every day. The Bench Pub is located on 5 Mile west of Farmington Road in Livonia. Look for the Bench Pub on Facebook. They're here for you during this crisis. Mention Ave Maria Radio for a 10% discount. That's the Bench Pub in Livonia.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
With 1 in 9 Americans struggling with hunger, Catholic Charities distributed over 70 million meals across the United States last year, along with life-changing services that empower people to move beyond poverty. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Streamline your charitable giving while supporting the causes you care about. To learn more, go to ccusa.gives. That's ccusa.gives.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are taking your calls today about holding on to peace. even in the middle of all the crazy. How do you do it? Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Joe, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Joe. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. Yeah, I'm married with 5 kids, been married about 10 years. And the last year, you know, we've started drifting further and further apart. And about 6 months ago, my wife told me that she wanted a divorce. We're still living together. And then about a month ago, I found out that she had an affair, and her affair partner actually died. And so she's, like, grieving that. And I've been trying to be empathetic, like your other call resonated well with me, being empathetic in prayer. And through this last 6 months, I've really struggled at work, and it's a problem. And I'm just, I've been doing that, but I feel like, and I'm not telling anyone in my friends and family about the situation to try to protect my wife. And so I feel like I'm doing this alone, but obviously I know God's there, so I'm trying.
Well,
I'm trying
but
to
you
keep
know, he put all the
God,
people in.
But,
but he puts people in your life because you need that support. But let's talk about. So, what are you guys doing to try to put this back together at this point? What help are you getting?
She won't get any help. She doesn't want to talk to anyone. She's. Whenever I talk about God, she gets very angry. She's angry at God right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to a counselor, a therapist, and talking to a couple, you know, trusted Catholic friends. But
good.
I'm talking.
The therapist is the therapist a marriage therapist?
Apprehensive about talking about the details.
Is the therapist a marriage therapist? Joe, are you there? I think we lost.
Joe,
I'm sorry, you broke up.
Is the therapist you're working with a marriage friendly therapist? Do you know, or did they just do individual therapy?
She had done marriage therapy before, and she's friendly. Like at first, she wasn't the greatest, but once she understood that my intention is to save our marriage and whatever, she's been very supportive and trying to work with me to that end.
Okay. The reason I ask, when I say marriage, I didn't mean is she friendly. I was a marriage friendly therapist. That's actually it's not an adjective. It's a professional designation. That's a therapist who has both training and supervision in marriage therapy. And their success, even when you're working with an individual client with a marriage-friendly therapist, their success rate is significantly higher than, say, a therapist who does a lot of individual counseling. So I'm not trying to undermine your relationship with your therapist. I just want you to go back and kind of find out what kind of work has she done in marriage therapy. What kind of training has she had? What kind of supervision has she had? because people who are marriage-friendly therapists who have specific training in marriage and family therapy, not just people who do marriage therapy, because you'll have individual counselors who say, oh, yeah, I see couples, too. Their success rate is about 30% compared to marriage-friendly therapists, who's around 90%. Right? So that's just the first thing to keep in mind. So here, let me give you your wife is kind of fitting into the profile perfectly that I'm going to describe. Couples, there are lots of couples who have marriage problems, but not all of those couples cheat. Infidelity is not caused by marital problems. All right, it's caused because the person who cheats doesn't know how to deal with conflict, doesn't know how to deal with expressing their needs effectively, doesn't know how to deal with their emotions well, and so they tend to repress stuff. They don't want to talk about things. They just try to push through and ignore it all, which leads to a depression. And that then the person feels depressed, but they're not talking about it, so you might be oblivious to the whole thing and have no clue. And then, you meet somebody at church or at work or the gym or whatever who makes you smile, makes you laugh. They make you feel good. And that person becomes your medication for the undiagnosed depression that you've been dealing with for however long because you don't know how to get your needs met and express your feelings and deal with conflict effectively.
And you're not necessarily any more in love with that person than you would be with any substance that made you feel better for a while.
And then this guy, on top of it, dies, So the thing that was making her feel better is now gone. And then
so now she's grieving that. So her depression just doubled.
So my point in saying all this is that this is not just a marital problem. This is a depression problem. I would bet almost anything that your wife is dealing with an undiagnosed depression. And I think that you need to press the issue. That this is that when you say that I need you to get a counseling, this is, you know, it's not just to save the marriage, which it is, but it's about, because, honey, you're depressed. And you've been depressed for a long time, and you don't know how to tell me what you need, and you don't know how to talk about your feelings, and you don't know how to deal with conflict directly. And I'm tired of just tiptoeing around everything. I need us to learn how to deal with this directly, and so I need you to come with me on this. So, Joe, I really want you to double down on your efforts to challenge your wife to get help, because it's not going to get better on its own, and it's not just about fixing the marriage. It's about helping her develop the interpersonal and emotional skills she needs to heal from this depression that's really been undermining your marriage and her happiness. If you talk with your therapist about this first, we do talk about this more in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which you can pick up at CatholicCounselors.com and learn about other resources we have for you there as well. Thanks so much for listening, folks. If you would like more tips on how to hold on to your peace, check us out at CatholicCounselors.com and have a blessed weekend.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.